Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, the conclusion to episode 182. This is part two, Fair Weather Faith or Storm Faith. Today is Sunday, January 16th, 2011. Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from sunny, snowy, and spirited North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's club is located in Disciples Ministries historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. If you need food and you live anywhere in the state of Minnesota, you are living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior 60 years and older or disabled with proof, call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. You can also visit us online at pastorpaul.org, where you can make a tax-deductible donation to support Pastor Paul's club. Up at the top of the homepage, you're going to find interactive links to Pastor Paul's blog, Flickr, the podcast, Life Vantage, YouTube, and Twitter. At Pastor Paul's blog, you can leave a comment, you can ask a question, make a suggestion, or give a testimony. Better yet, you can call the comment line, 1-877-489-0922, and that local number is 612-208-0916. So call the comment line, leave a comment, or give us a testimony. At Pastor Paul's blog, you're going to find scripture links that are within Pastor Paul's messages. In the month of January, these are the following messages: God Sees, Fair Weather Faith or Storm Faith, Fair Weather or Storm Faith Part 2, Zealous with His Righteousness or Our Own. Be sure to join us for both parts, Part 1 on Friday, Part 2 on Sunday. Have a great month of January, and God bless you.
But oh, how we love to dictate to God about the weather and the climate of a service. And so we have developed, in the meantime, many fair weather Christians. When the going gets rough and the storms are many, we are like the very superstitious people of that day. See, it's a bad omen. It's a judgment. There's a storm. Oh, you know, if I was a person that got freaked out, I would have been freaked out of my existence a long time ago. Say amen, somebody. Don't freak out. Are you hearing this? And anyway, Jesus is right there with them. Methinks I'll get aboard that big yacht over there. That, what do we call it? The prosperity clipper. Where not one word of trials is ever mentioned, and you can set up on the prosperity deck with a mint julep and some nice scriptures and go over them and read back and forth to each other, and there's no trials, and the boat is so big and so well manned and everything, that while the rest of them are out there tussling with their little oars and their little sails and stuff, you just go by and you shake your head. Well, if you want to be in a boat like that, of course, all you have to do is claim one like this. How about if you claimed that thing and got up there and kicked them off that thing? Then what? Are you hearing this today? Oh, God. And there's so much ministry like that that's going on right now. The Prosperity Clipper. And all they do on the Prosperity Clipper out there is talk about how much they're blessed. How are you? Oh, I'm blessed. How many have heard that from people? You never heard that? And you walk up to them, I'm blessed. How are you? I mean, you can't even get into a conversation with them. How are you today? How's things going? I'm blessed. Interesting. And that's the end of the conversation. I mean, wouldn't it have been better? Wouldn't it have been better, Lord, to have a nice, quiet service after which everybody would have peaceably drifted off on home, a clear, simple service, no complications, very little conviction, sort of a draw them in with milk and honey and spice and everything nice type of ministry? I mean, wouldn't they apt to becoming more if you just give them that kind of a message? I mean, don't be so negative, Paul. And I answered that question on the telephone, and I said, to what? To your flesh? I mean, sometimes the strange occasion of a trial makes it harder to bear. I mean, trials are strangers to many, for they do not welcome them. They flee. You better welcome them, because they're going to come your way. They're going to be there whether you like it or not. And so they start to despair and disappear, and they start to hide. I mean, a trial is never completely welcome, I know that. But I think to myself, sometimes it is even harder. It is more disagreeable, especially when people are watching. Have you ever gone through a trial when people are watching? Think about it. Jesus on the cross, Jesus being scourged, Jesus being beaten and having his beard pulled out, was in a terrible trial, a very traumatic time, and there were a lot of people seeing this. How many know when you're humbled, it's a lot harder when people are watching? Did you ever get a spanking in front of your friends when you were a kid? Or your parents said, I told you to get back in the house and I want you to get in there right now. And everybody's watching? Say amen. There are times when it's harder. The trials are harder. And why is that? Because people are watching. And we get so concerned about what people see. Now the trial is even worse. Oh God, they can see this boat pitching and moaning and yawning. They can see all this. And Lord, there you lay. You're sleeping there. Little you care. And they're watching. Preachers, you are going through it. You're going to have to go through it. People, you're going to have to go through it. Trials and tribulations are going to come your way. Don't be dismayed. They are made for you. I look at it. Young people, and I see young people, and you know, and I'm not trying to defeat you, but I'm trying to ready you that you are going to have trials. Are young people, are they going to have trials? Well, wouldn't you think they'd be more ready for them if they expected them? Rather than teaching them that they don't have to receive them? How many knows that trials are sent by God? And here we have a whole brand new generation now that are taught, not, I don't receive it. You go to give your kid a spanking, and he says, I don't receive it. Do you give it to him anyway? How about if you're a little guy, and you had to discipline, and he looked up and he said, I don't receive it. Would he still receive it? Probably twice as hard. And then what if he said, you spanked me, now judgment's going to fall on you. God saw you. Oh, let's get real about it, okay? What would you do? Yeah, but you wouldn't believe him, would you? Yeah, and you, so you have people that know nothing about faith telling you exactly what's going to happen to you. You know what I mean? You know, little kids in the faith telling you what's going to happen. You're going to be judged, Dad. I'm going to show, Lord, look. What are you going to do then? Another spanking. Okay, now you're really going to be judged. God, I am, blister upon blister. Oh, I hate you. I'm going to leave home. Goodbye. Don't let the door hit you in the seat of the pants on the way out, son. Take some extra diapers with you, okay? See, we don't welcome the trials. You must learn how to welcome them. And see how these disciples went into the trial brave and self-confident. Oh, Jesus is sleeping right now, but he'll soon wake up. We'll just walk around like proud peacocks, strutting in the sun, showing off our feathers, being admired for all of our spiritual beauty. But then the fierce rain comes down and storm clouds move in. You wouldn't know they were the same people. Their feathers are all over the place. I mean, they look terrible out there in the storm. They're all dripping and wet. And the glory has departed from their self. Glory has departed from them. Are you hearing this today? Jesus wakes up from this storm and he looks at them with a calm heart and he wonders at their bugged eyes and their hair standing on end. And he says, why are you so afraid? He pitied them, but they weren't even more like their real self. Say amen, somebody. Sure, the hurricane could make them fearful, he thought. But they were so fearful as to act as if they had no faith after all of that teaching. They were a little bit like him, but not a whole lot. And oh, how we grieve the Spirit of God when we are like that after we have been taught and been through some kind of trials, and then in the day of trial, we run. Oh, preacher, don't you run in the day of your crossing over and the day of your trial. Keep on. What's that song? I'll keep hanging on. I heard that on the radio. Was there a song like that? Hang on, hang on, hang on. Somebody was singing over here. I'll keep hanging on, huh? Hang on. Hang on to the boat. Hang on to your ministry. Hang on to your sanity. Hang on to your life in Christ. Hang on. I'll keep hanging on. Hang on. But many times after we try to copy his work, we stumble and we fall. Why is it, I thought, we are so fearful while he is so calm? Is this our imitation of Jesus Christ, our doubts and our fears and our alarms? Our mistrusts of God? Are these, as the followers of Jesus Christ, are these the things that we are to exhibit? Are we to shoot the wounded? Pastor called me up and he said that I was in a church some time back and it was out east and he said, they told me I was going to the dogs. Well, I said, that is a pretty mean thing to say because that's what they used to do to the criminals and people. They would throw them out and the dogs loved nothing more. Now, the dogs were the lowest thing in the east like that. They'd throw them all their slop and everything. But what they loved the most was the dead carcass of a body thrown out there, and they would rip at the cheeks and they'd pull the nose out and eat everything. No, brother, I says, you're not going to go to the dogs. Don't worry about it. God is not going to allow you to be thrown to the dogs. But anyway, Jesus pitied them because it made them so unlike themselves. Did you ever get in a situation in your life where you thought, well, now I'm not even like my real self. I've lost the courage that I normally had. Not talking about faith in Jesus Christ, but now I'm not even like myself, like I was before I was saved. I've lost that courage. I've lost that perseverance. But Master, carest thou not that we perish? When we get fearful, we act so foolishly. We stagger from unbelief. See, we could weather the storm, but we take our eyes off of the finisher of our faith, Jesus Christ. And so our Lord is grieved for us when he sees us fall so low that instead of being like himself, we are not even like our own selves. But also Jesus pitied them because their fears made them so unhappy. You ever been fearful? Isn't that make you unhappy? Doesn't it? How many in here have been fearful at one time or another in their life? Doesn't it make you unhappy? It's in all you can think about. You go to eat, you lose your appetite. Fear takes over. You go to talk to somebody, you're talking to them, you're smiling and everything, but fear has gripped you. And everything you do has that little spice of fear in it, and it makes you miserable. There's a storm, an internal storm going on. Jesus pitied them because their countenance, they had terror all over them. They were white as a sheet as they started to bail out this boat, see? And as it started to fill, many of them fell. And when it started to sink, they sank. And they were in terror. Yes, but what caused it? The fear of death. I think we feel 1,000 deaths in fearing one. Did you know that? You're better off to obey the Lord. You must obey the Lord. Sometimes you fear what might happen if you obey the Lord. Oh, God. Now, I have to go on in this thing. And the boat's rocking. It don't look good. And this is wrong and that's wrong. And preacher, are you hearing this? And so on like that. I'm fearful about what might happen. Do you like me? Do you like me? Sir, do you like me? Over there, do you really like me? Are you? You know, what's the worst thing in the world? I got to get into the Psalms. David says in the Psalms, I forget exactly where it is. I want to get into it. He says, I wouldn't mind it, he said, Lord, but these are the people that I trusted. These are the people that I loved. And they haven't even asked me what went on or anything. But Lord, they have all of one accord turned against me. Lord, now I wouldn't mind if it was my enemies, but these were my supposed friends. Now that's pretty disheartening, isn't it? You ever snuck up on a friend and he's talking about you? And you overheard it? Doesn't that make you sick in your gut? How many of that's happened to you, or you heard what they said, or something like that? Never happened in your whole of your life? God, I mean, haven't you ever lived? It's happened to everybody. Put your hand up. Are you dead? Are you sleeping? I mean, that's not a negative thing. Put your hand up. God, I've had that happen. Yes, I have. It's a terrible feeling. Well, if it's been a terrible feeling to you folks, and you listening on the radio, then take that thing and don't put it on someone else. Learn from your experience. How many hearing this? Has it ever happened to you? Nope. Never ever in your whole life. Well, it probably did and you didn't know it, see? Praise God for his mercy. Oh, it has. It happens to everybody. You get let down. Someone gets a job over you. That ever happened to you? Yeah, okay. I'm not trying to prove a point, but I'm trying to prove a point. Well, we feel 1,000 deaths in fearing one. And you know what? All agony of death lies in the thinking ahead onto it. God. God. Oh, Jesus. Huh? What What do you got to fear? You know what? Don't fear death, because when you receive Christ, you die. You're born again. That part of you is supposed to be gone. But do you ever get into that? Fearing of what's ahead? Fearing what's ahead? Now, everybody has. Now, if you have faith, fear will always be there. Always. Or you don't have faith. That is a fighter of your faith, fear. Wherever good is, evil is what? Always present. See, death is not the storm, but a quieter of it. Of the disturbing elements, and oh, how unnecessarily we fear forthcoming situations and magnify them. And there's nothing to them. Have you ever feared, oh, there's a test tomorrow, and oh, you don't sleep, and you got this test, and you got cotton mouth and everything, you young people listening on the radio, oh, I got cotton mouth, and I got to get up, and I got to give it, you know, I got to speak in front of the class. And the next day they say, well, we're not going to do that. We've taken a new direction. See, our sorrows are usually homegrown, fertilized by our own unbelief. Yeah, that's what they are. Lord, pardon us. Lord, have mercy. Jesus pities us when we warp ourselves with our own fears, homegrown. But you know what? Your fears can make you unkind. You know when you get fearful, you get unkind? Does unbelief make even the timid unkind? Oh, yes. They can be vicious when cornered by fear. And when hard times come, watch fearful men turn into animals over their jobs, over money positions. And it says in the original that Peter grew hoarse from yelling at Jesus to wake up. How fretful, I thought, and how wicked. Yes, unbelief usually is unkind. Why was it? Because his reputation was at stake. You threaten someone's reputation and they will become very unkind. Because they are guarding their reputation. They'll take you to court for defamation of character. They'll do anything. Are you hearing this? Because you have put them in a corner and you have attacked their reputation. Now, Peter the Rock was looking like Peter Milquetoast because he was screaming in the boat. Whew. Are you hearing this? I think the very most unreasonable thing in the world is to doubt God. Faith is pure reason. Why not believe in the Lord? Can you believe in anything else? Is there really anything else that you can believe in? Don't you believe that's the purest reason to believe in the Lord? Jesus foresaw that this unbelief was going to make their lives unfit. If you in your trial right now, Pastor, or you housewife, or you machine shop worker, are you driving that truck right now? Are in a spirit of unbelief and in a spirit of fear, you are going to be unfit to live with. If you are in that questioning attitude, if you have put off, if you have delayed, if you are divided in your thinking, if you are double-minded, if you have slowness to move in love, Jesus might have said something like this to them. If ye have run with the footmen, and they have wearied you, what will ye do when you contend with horses? If the winds and the waves, in other words, are too much, what will you do when you wrestle the principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places? In other words, if natural causes destroy your peace, what will you do when spiritual forces attack you? Why is it that you have no faith? Is it your want of knowledge? They didn't know Jesus very well, or they would have no fear. If one thing I've learned, it's the battle is on. It's a battle against fear. Don't skim the word. Get into the word. Well, a question came to me the other day. How do you conquer fear? And I thought about it. And I thought to myself, and then I told him on the telephone, live as clear as is within you, a clean life. As much as is within you. I said, I don't believe any man can be totally fearless who has not really followed the Lord and been obedient to the Lord. He's going to be fearful. Don't hide from God. Don't take off on a slow boat to China. Don't leave the Lord and what He's called you to do. Stay with Jesus or you will be fearful. Sometime back, I had a friend of mine that was really fearful. He had done something. He had been on Washington Avenue some 25 or 30 years ago, and he had been drinking, and he was driving down the road, and there was a man sitting in the street like this, just sitting in the street on Washington Avenue, and he was bobbing along, and he said he had been drinking, and his headlights just caught the guy as he threw up his arms, and he was sitting down, and the guy held on to the bumper of the car, and he drug him for 3 or 4 blocks like that, and then he felt the bump, 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 and then the guy released, and he had kept that in his mind for all of those years. Every time a siren would go off, every time he'd see a police car, he lived with that tremendous fear. Can you imagine? Well, I told him, I said, you're going to have to. The way to get rid of fear is to face the thing. Of course, they didn't do anything to him. I mean, the person was probably a hobo or something, you know. Probably had no billfold or nothing like that. There was no real record. But he got rid of it. It says, see, in the Bible, tell the truth and the truth will set you free. But sometimes the fear of what the truth, telling the truth, will cost you, keeps you from telling the truth. Doesn't it? Sometimes it'll cost you friends if you tell the truth. Sometimes if you're truthful with yourself, it'll cost you, it might even cost you a home ministry preacher. But you better tell the truth. See, maybe someone's sitting on the radio right now and they have something that they need to get rid of. Tell the truth, and the Bible says, and the truth will set you free. See, because fear and faith cannot live together. They won't mix. You can't have faith and have fear. No, you can't do it. But I think when faith moves in boldly, fear lives up to its name and it fearfully runs the other way. Yeah. I think we're in a time right now, folks, in a ministry right now, and all across the country. This is not just our ministry. I'm ministering to people all across the country. Have a faith that trusts in God so completely that it puts His will. I know this is strange to people's ears, but that will put His will first. And it might cause you your death. It might put you on a cross. But it's the only way you're going to conquer that fear is to bear a cross, to wear a crown. It's the only way that you're going to be totally free to do the will of God is to bear the cross, is to let it all out there. And then I believe in closing here, we can state with Paul. We know that to them that love God, all things work together for good. And I think if a man is really convinced of that in the deepest depths of his own very own soul, then nothing can make him afraid. He may be called upon to face loneliness. He may be called upon to face unpopularity. He may be called upon to suffer bitter loss. He may be called upon to endure intense suffering. But none of these will frighten him, not a one, because he knows that God can change his foes to friends, his calamities into capital, his losses into gains. And I think this is a victory that overcometh the world, the Bible says, with all its fears and with all its terrors, even our faith, the Bible says. If we trust in God enough to put Him first, if we have no fear but the one fear of disappointing God, there'll be no other. It'll cancel out every other fears. If your only fear is that you will not do the will of God, preacher, and stay in what God has called you to do. And you won't have to fear anything, because then you truly have given your life. And you truly will gain your life. And that's the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, isn't it? That is the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And maybe there's a church listening out there, or someone in the church, or some pastor that's out there, and he's in a boat right now. He doesn't look too good, and it's kind of shaky, and the oars are broken and all that, and the large clippers are alongside, and the hyperfaith tugboats and all of these different things are out there. But you don't pay no attention to that. God has called you for work. Call upon the name of the Lord in a time of trouble, and he will answer. He's right there in the boat with you. He doesn't leave the boat. He's right there. Go through the storm, and Jesus will go with you. Church, listening out there right now, church is in trouble all over. And you know, not only are people attacking each other, but the government agencies and different things like that are going to attack the churches. Local governments, city governments, and state governments, and all kinds of governments, government agencies the Bible just tells us that. But what's really bad is when your own friends and your own Christian friends, I mean, I'm talking to churches, not my own personal experience, although that things happen, but I'm talking about to encourage people out there. What really can get you down is when it happens in your own, to people that you have trusted and that you have loved, and without explanation, all of a sudden they are jeering and jaunting and giving you, what you should do and what you shouldn't do, and they really haven't really been in the boat with you after all. Say amen, somebody. They haven't been in there. They haven't been in that boat. They don't know what that boat is about. They've been in some other kind of boat. They've been in a sort of an elusive type thing in another boat, a twin ministry going together, and they really weren't in that boat. Well, that's the way it is, see. And God is calling us to a work down here on the north side. It's so exciting, I can't tell you. I mean, I'm really encouraged. Say, why are you encouraged? Because I've learned to trust in Jesus, and my hope is in the Lord, and I'm not going to get into myself. I'm not going to get into the melancholia. Don't get into melancholy. Don't get into, seeing yourself. See Jesus Christ, and you're going to see the needs of people, and you're going to see where your ministry is. Watch the next few months, and I will say, okay, I'm not going to say to be safe a year. The next few months, let's say 6 months, a complete turnaround in the body of Christ, a complete turnaround. You know, and Jeremiah talks about the people that prophesy in the name of Jesus and call them the oracles of the Lord. He says, I didn't tell them any of that stuff. And he says, they're going around saying that I had given them a vision and I have given them dreams, and I have not given them dreams and I have not given them visions. And he says, they're speaking to their own destruction. They're saying things that aren't so. I never put that in their mouth. In fact, I came not to judge, but I came to save, and they're telling you something that isn't so. That person, or persons, or whatever, are in trouble. Because the Bible says in Jeremiah, I didn't tell them to say that. They said, thus saith the Lord. They said, this was the oracle of God. I never said that. I never told them that. Never. Did they say they had a dream, it says? I never gave him that dream. I never gave him that vision. Whoever told you that? Well, they said, in the name of Jesus, and they said, thus saith the Lord. He says, I never told them that. Line it up with the Bible. Line it up with Sermon on the Mount. I know it says, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I say unto you, I say unto you, show mercy and I will give you mercy. I say unto you, be a peacemaker. I say unto you, who told you this? And it not only says that, it says in the latter day, they will come and they will prophesy in my name and say, thus saith the Lord. Don't listen to them. I have not given them personal kitchen prophecy to lay you out prone on the ground. Don't receive it. And you're going to have a lot of that happening. Say amen, somebody. If the prophecies do not, in the end, lift up, build up, and cheer up, they are not a God. It's for the building up, and the clearing up, and the cheering up. Not for the tearing down, not for the pulling out, not for the destruction. That time is past. Praise God. See, all prophecy that was made is already in. There's personal prophecy, but if it doesn't line up for you and God hasn't shown you already, in your own particular life, all that someone can do when they give you a word is line up with what God has already shown you. Never take anything secondhand from somebody else. Never. Never be persuaded to do an unlovely thing to show your love. Huh? If you love me, you'll do this. You'll go along with me. If you have to do an unlovely thing to prove your love, leave it. Say amen, somebody. For you to, you know, for me right now to do an unlovely, wouldn't be an unlovely thing for me right now to turn my back on 12,000 people. It just saddens me. Turn my back on 12,000 folks that are depending on a ministry because of thus saith the Lord came forth. Come on, think about it now. How would you like to be here in this position right now and you got all these thus saith the Lord crazies out there? Huh? Come on. They are nuts. I mean, I'd like to use, you know, some kind of a word that would, no, nuts. All right, these are nuts. Isn't it nuts to turn your back on the multitudes? Come on now. Come on now. And isn't it nuts for you to tell your side of the... There is no side to stories. There's only Jesus Christ's side. Do what you have been commanded to do and do it with all your heart and all your mind and all of your soul. And be ready to go through storms when you get into that type of ministry. Be ready to, you know, like I said Friday night, they're going to be watching you. They're going to be watching you running the race. They have dropped out of the race. And you know something? Everybody that's in the race wins. There's not one person. I don't care. There's no coming in last. God's no respecter of persons. I mean, it doesn't because you have long legs and can stretch them out there and make them just look beautiful as you make it down, you know, as you run. It has nothing to do with that. Man, you can look like an elephant and run the race. You know what I mean? They all win. All of them. All you have to do is stay in the race. That's all you have to do. You can crawl in. You can crawl on your belly. You can roll. You can turn somersaults. You can walk backwards. You know what I mean? You can have people carry you. As long as you just stay in the race. That's all you have to do. And that is the test of your faith, to stay in the race. Huh? Isn't it? When you got people, wow, go, win. And some of them are even phony callers. Calling out encouragement, but they're really not encouraging. You know what I mean? Oh, go ahead, win, great. And it's just empty. Say amen, somebody. You're all running. How many know you are in a race and you're to run a race? Well, then run it. Praise the Lord. Is there anyone in here that doesn't know Jesus as their personal Savior?